This is a Federal News Network podcast.
The military services have long complained when Congress fails to deliver budgets on time. Over the last 10 years, continuing resolutions have become the norm. Now for 2021, Congress has another military branch tugging its sleeve for an on-time budget, namely the Space Force. The newest service says a long-term CR could delay its full setup. Federal News Network's Scott Massioni joins me with more. Let's begin with what the request is, Scott. What is Space Force supposed to get in the coming year, 2021?
This is quite the plus up compared to last year. In 2020, the Space Force got $40 million. That's a very small drop in the bucket for the Defense Department. This year, in 2021, they're asking for $15.4 billion. The thing about that is it comes through the Air Force's budget. Now, that's still very small for a military force. If you remember, the Air Force itself gets about $150 billion. So this is just one-tenth of just one service's, one of the smaller services' budgets. So the Space Force isn't asking for a lot, but they're also, their mission is to be lean and agile.
Got it. But if a CR were to occur, and it could be a year-long CR for all we know with the political situation the way it is, what would that do for the Space Force? Another $40 million?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is that it's very problematic for the Space Force. The Chief of Space Operations, General Jay Raymond, said that part of this issue is just transferring the funds from the Air Force to the Space Force. So, like I said, they had $40 million last year. Well, that $15.4 billion, in a way, if you look at it technically, sort of like a new start. They're sort of bringing it from, they're transferring it from the Air Force into the Space Force. So that's a weird technicality, but it's something that they have to really take into consideration. Another thing is that they need operations and maintenance funds to take care of the missions that they've already started. They've started working on some satellites that they've put into launch, and they've already also launched the secretive X-37B space plane. That's a Boeing plane that is an orbital test vehicle. It's a reusable robotic spacecraft that's boosted in the space by a launch vehicle and then re-enters the Earth's atmosphere as a space plane. So pretty cool. Probably going to take some money to maintain that if it's going into space.
And no meal service.
Yeah. And finally, Raymond said that the CR could just affect some of the programs the Space Force has adopted. But mainly, that would be GPS-3, which has more precision and anti-jamming technologies than the previous iteration of GPS, which you have on your phone right now. And go ahead, Tom.
This all sounds like Space Force is in the active business of launching and maintaining assets, though.
They are. And that's the thing, is that even though they're not even a year old at this point, they are a really full-fledged military force, even though they don't have everything that they need exactly yet. They're mostly set up when it comes to conducting operations. In fact, Jay Raymond even confirmed that back in January, the Space Force helps warn troops that Iran would be sending missiles to the Iraq base that was attacked in January 8th. So there's definitely some issues that they're working on, and they're an actual service.
Yeah, well, Congress did approve the Space Force, so it's not as if the nation is second-guessing its own strategy there in space. It's just a question of funding. Could, by the way, we're speaking with Federal News Network's Scott Massioni, could the Air Force ask for a reprogramming under a CR?
So that's the thing. They haven't necessarily talked to Congress yet, but they could get in what's called an anomaly. And that's where Congress will sort of pass this smaller bill or resolution that gives them a free hall pass to get some money to go ahead and do this funding within the CR. And if I were to put some money on it, I think considering this is such a new force that is really contingent on needing this money, I would bet that one of their first priorities would be one of these anomalies.
Got it. And by the way, does the Space Force get its uniforms straightened out and some of the nomenclature? I mean, is it actually definable and tangible as a force?
Not yet. They've talked about this a little bit. They've talked that they're going to start putting some test uniforms out there. They're really trying to put the icing on the cake here, and that includes coming up with a name. Right now, they're just called Space Warfighters, but that's a temporary name, and they also don't have their anthem. But they're hoping to put some of that out by December 20th, which is going to be their anniversary, and you know, it might be a nice little birthday gift for them to lay that out right before Christmas.
I wonder if the Jetsons song is still copyrighted. Maybe it's available. All right. What else does Space Force have to do at this point?
Right. Well, some of the things they've already done, they've created the directorates, which are the very important parts of within a service that tell people what to do and follow logistics, things like that. So they have an HR and logistics directorate, an operations directorate, and a cyber intel plans, requirements, and analysis directorate. So that last one's got a lot going on in there. They've also brought in some space troops. The Space Force swore in hundreds of new troops on Tuesday, and they'll bring in 2,400 more by the end of the month. And if you remember, 8,500 airmen volunteered to transfer over to the Space Force. They also got 88 space warfighters coming in from the Air Force Academy this past May. So they're starting to move up their ranks. They've also pushed down their acquisition. Instead of having someone in the Pentagon as sort of their chief acquisition person, they've pushed that down to the field level. And what Jay Raymond said is that he really wanted that to be something that helps keep the operators and the developers of these procurement programs close to the people that are making the decisions, so they don't have to go and make six or seven decision makers, six or seven forms, whatever, before they can get something going. So that's just one of the ways that they're keeping the force lean and agile, which is something that they've been working on and is part of their mission state.
And based on what you say about the numbers of people moving into the Space Force, clearly they have a payroll that is bigger than the $40 million they got in 2020.
They're mostly still airmen at this point, and that's a big part of it. But one of the first things that they set up was the HR directorate. And the reason for that was is that they wanted to make sure everyone still got their pay and benefits. It would be a real mistake if they brought people over and then they couldn't get pay. I think that would be a bad name for the Space Force right in the beginning.
And does the Space Force have a physical location other than the Pentagon that is generally associated with it?
Yeah, right now they work in Colorado Springs, which is where a lot of the Space Force and space sort of issues take place. But, you know, they're mostly in the Pentagon since a lot of leadership is in there. One of the other things that they're doing that I wanted to mention is that there's a lot of separate organizations with their hands in space, more than 60 of them. So they're trying to separate that out and tease out areas where they can take more control and push those other organizations out. That was one of the reasons for creating a Space Force, was that the acquisition process and the process of putting up a satellite just had too many cooks in the kitchen.
But they're not going to push out NOAA or NASA or the Commerce Department.
Right. Those are on a more commercial scale. And then, of course, there's the National Reconnaissance Office, which is also going to be keeping its sort of space intelligence mission going at the same time. But when it comes to kind of procuring satellites and things like that, they have the services and the Defense Department and everyone else under the sun kind of with their finger in the pie on that.
Also in Colorado Springs is the Air Force Academy. And I wonder, maybe you know yet, maybe we don't know, has it started pivoting to education of people that would have a future in the Space Force?
It does have some space offerings. And, you know, like I said, there were 88 that graduated from the Air Force Academy and went into the Space Force. And there's also 23 different Air Force specialty codes, which are basically occupations within the Air Force, that are going to be or are in the process of transferring over to the Space Force. So things that used to be Air Force controlled will now be Space Force controlled, and those are things you will learn in the Academy as well.
All right. Well, they need the money. Federal News Network, Scott Massioni, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Check out his ongoing coverage of this at federalnewsnetwork.com.